Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Hello, welcome in. Welcome back in to a new episode of Chi Time, Your Energy Matters, with me, Clara Apollo, here on UK Health Radio, where we explore the arena of your personal energy, because ultimately the quality of that is what is running your life. I'm an elemental Qigong teacher based near Glastonbury, UK, with an online presence on claraapollo.com and the YouTube channel Qi Time. Now, Qigong was introduced to me in London in the mid-1990s when I was recovering from a debilitating repetitive strain injury on my arms from excessive costume designing, I have to add, which is a long story that I won't go into now, but my engagement with the Qi practice continues to feel like I'm on a personal energy quest. And for the past 6 months, my Qi has led me to delve into the world of free mind hypnotherapy, finding the excavation of subconscious crud an invaluable component to the internal alchemy of Qigong, the Neigong. So on this episode of Qi Time, I have for you the founder of Free Mind Hypnotherapy, Tom Fortis Mayer, and the Free Mind facilitator and coach, Nathan Simmons. Now, he has been guiding me deftly in these zones recently, and the three of us met up last week for an informal chat on the topic of the embodiment of free mind hypnotherapy. And I happened to record it, and halfway through, I just knew that I wanted to share these awesome guys' magic and vision with you. So let's dive in to the beginning of the chat with Tom and let it unfold from there. Well, well, well. Tom Fortis Mayer is here with me. Oh, what's going to happen next?
I guarantee you I have no idea.
Yes, we aren't sure, but we were just like called in to have this conversation, and Nathan's going to be joining us as well. And it's the topic is the free mind hypnotherapy and the embodiment of it and seeing if there's something that wants to be explored. I'm saying that we're here because we recognize there is something that is already being explored. It would be interesting to speak into that and see what wants to come through.
Totally, totally. My partner as well, she's taken the free mind work and has been working on the embodied touch, the touching the body, bringing the touch to the regressive healing work, and with both exploring together, practicing on each other, the generational piece, you know, and the singular field piece, you know, it's for me, this idea of kind of ancestral or generational healing, it brings in the personal, and of course it's our personal ancestors, but for me, beyond a few generations, it's really just the field. You know, the field has been mired in pain, mired in animalism, survivalism, territorialism, materialism, and we're all in that frequency, and we're emerging. And it's like all of our work is the work for everyone. And everyone's work is what I'm feeling. I'm like, things are amazing in so many ways. And yet I am raw as hell and have been for a long time. It's like I feel cleaved open to everyone's work. So like it feels to me now it's just the work. It's not personal almost.
Yes, and in that way we can have the place that we have within it. We're one of the components in the field, with what were you describing it as, like a node of medicine. I thought it was a lovely way of describing that, and that each of us has that node of medicine within us to bring to it, but also to be receiving. It's this gift that keeps giving, whether you like it or not.
So enjoyable. yeah, totally. And you know, something that's shifted in my understanding is that I've done, you know, been on workshops where people are doing generational healing, and a common theme is they're like, right now, turn back around your ancestors and hand them back their crap and say, this is not mine, this is yours. And now I've been going back and apologizing and saying, for me, it's like, no. I'm like, I will take it. And I will be the crucible upon which it is altered. I don't give it back to them. I alchemize it and offer up the upgrade to the field.
There we go. The field is the key, and the field goes back and forward in time, space, or dimensions, doesn't it?
They get the benefits. All I'm sending back up the line is like, all right, guys, ladies, I got this. I know it's too much for you. It's quite a lot for me too. And I probably won't complete it. I'm still passing some on to my kids, bless them. But I'm diluting that as best as I can. But I'm here to alchemize that and then humbly offer that back to the field. Not back up some historical timeline, but rather to just go, this is actually, and it is just the pain of the field is here. And if I can in some way ameliorate that, that's my purpose. You know, I've inherited this pocket of contraction, and do I have the capacity to meet it and bring it back into expansion, you know, without denying it, without pretending it's like enjoyably perfect. It's like, no, it's the struggle is the cauldron in which the medicine is formulated, and that's, you know, gone is the fantasy of perpetual peace.
Yes. Yeah, and the pursuit of pleasure, you know, this is the work. And in Qigong, the gong is the work, it's the cultivation of the qi, of the energy of it all. What is being asked to be cultivated here? What is being asked to be worked with and worked on? And like what you were saying around not like pushing it back to the ancestors, almost like blame, you have all that. It's like, no, we've inherited, we're part of them. We are that stream that's come through them. If we give it back to them, we're just putting it into a place for later where we're going to have to come and deal with it anyway. Mm. And I think with so many helpful modalities around these days, which let's face it, you know, cavemen didn't know about free mind hypnotherapy, but they were probably pretty good at sitting around a fire telling stories and getting tranced out. But, you know, the tools and techniques that we have these days to be able to shine a light on the generational trauma, and we have all got it. You know, no one gets out of here without having a look at their trauma. And yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've got loads of generational. I mean, it's like I can't, you know, we are so sensitive, the humans. We're like the most sweet and romantic entities, and we are so crushable. And then we're We're here. With the education systems that we've been forced through, the sieves that we've been filtered through, the ignorance that we've been nurtured with. It's like I have worked pretty hard to become more conscious, and I witness myself, like through the stress and strain of parenthood, failing to protect my children from horror. Not just in from the world around them, but from my own actions, my own shaming of their overwhelming emotions, because in that moment I don't deem them to be worthy of their upset, because it's not convenient for me getting them out of the house in that moment or whatever it may be. It's like, God, we've all got bucket loads of moments of stuff that needs to be felt and brought to light and healed.
You were saying also it's not perfect, so it we do muck up, but it's about being able to be conscious of it and go, okay, I messed up there. How can I help some understanding come in here? Because otherwise we'd be walking around on flipping eggshells, and that's no fun. I mean, one wants to
No.
be considerate and stuff, but at the same time, how careful do you want to be about all this, like?
I agreed. I mean, the other day, so I was going to the toilet. I'm keeping an eye on them because they can kill each other, my 5 and 3 year old. I've got some bigger ones as well, but these are my main psychological study at the moment. And so I've got the door open as I'm sitting on the toilet because I just need to keep an eye on them as best I can. The little one is very interested in wiping bums at the moment, wanted to wipe my bum before I'd actually finished. And so she's reaching between my legs, which is not the way to do it anyway. And I'm like, this is so stressful. I'm so anyway. So I shout at this kid, just can you give me a minute? Then my 5 year old from the other room goes, Daddy, don't shout at the baby. I was like, are you right? I'll try not to. I said, can you come and get her? No, Daddy, I'm busy writing out my angry words. Because we haven't been perfect parents, but we have been really good at cleaning it up. And like, that wasn't okay. How do you feel? Say that that was bad that I did that. I don't want you to internalize any self-blame. I want you to say it out loud. So you don't need to say it out loud 20 years from now to a therapist. Say it now. Daddy, that was bad. I was right. You were wrong. It's like, good. It's like, so arguably my kids are going to be more emotionally intelligent because of the mistakes that we've made and the consciousness we've brought to rectifying that. And I think with the past I've had and the trauma I've had and all, that's as good as it's going to get. Maybe they'll get to a place where they would just never shout at their kids and be way more zen about it. But then their children will have some associated trouble with that because when they then go out into the world, unless it's an enlightened world, they will not know what to do with themselves if anyone's ever mean to them or if a
Well,
boss is bullying them, right?
thing, when other people haven't got those same skill sets, so it's coming into, oh, I've got to ask you this question. Where did free mind hypnotherapy come from? Because you are the founder of that system, aren't you? So.
Yeah, while standing on the shoulders of giants, I kind of formulated it based on I experienced a lot of different models and went on a lot of different courses. And what I and I've always I come from a very cynical and skeptical place. So prior to an epiphany I had at 27, I didn't really believe in any of this stuff, and I thought it was all nonsense and snake oil salespeople and hokum. And then, without being any kind of a seeker, I had a single event epiphany, which changed my life. And that's the primary inspiration for Free Mind, which is that I believe people can be profoundly changed rapidly, because I was. And that ultimately, whilst everyone is different, it always just comes down to your relationship to fear. And we have thousands of pockets of fear which clog our system. And that sets our general relationship to life. Therefore, if we can systematically find these moments of contraction and fear, where we build a narrative of lack or fear or not being worthy or have low expectation of others, we can meet with those, dissolve them, resolve them, and bit by bit we buy our soul back into a freer state of being. So free mind really is freeing one's mind of the fear that blocks our natural happiness and our natural unconditional love. My experience in that moment of clarity was that I experienced myself without fear. And in that place, I felt very, very happy and very, very full of love. And the happiness and love were me, and they hadn't gone anywhere. They were just in blocked in my perception because of the fear clogging my system. So I was like, okay, so then if we can just go and just clear the fear, then do I have faith in people's natural state? We don't need to fix, we don't need to heal, we just need to clear the obstruction, and the system is already free. It's already pure love, it's pure happiness.
It knows what to do when, as you say, the contraction is out of the way. And this is what Qigong does. A lot of the practice is clearing the fear that sits in your kidneys. Your kidneys are the home of, not only are they filtering the water and all of that, but in Chinese medicine, they're the home of your primal energy source, your primordial chi, that which is bequeathed to you when you're born. So you get given this quotient of natural life force energy, and it is said to be seated around the kidneys. Mm. Now, if you're going to be getting stressed, then you've got the adrenaline running around, you're going to get contraction there and overwork, you're going to get burnout happening, the fear is associated with the kidneys as well. This is all going to have an impact on your natural vitality. You're not going to be able to access it as easily, or it'll be a bit, you know, won't be as smooth and available for you. So you'll feel tired, lethargic, you'll be in fear, wondering what on earth, how you're going to manage and all of that. And that, as you said, it's this contraction. It stops you being in the flow of this natural way of being in balance, which all of our systems are wired to do. Yes. So it's this excavating the blockages, the stagnation. And mentioned fear, I think another one is anger, you know, not knowing what to do with the frustrations and the angers and the things that you haven't been able to express. All that stuff gets stuffed down, isn't it, into the subconscious mind.
Yeah, and it does. And what I've developed, you know, as I studied all those different models, what I noticed was some of them were amazing, but they were, most of them also missed like a pocket of something that was important. And so I've gathered the missing gaps and tried to do my best to plug it. And then I'll work with clients, work on myself, and then I would run into trouble. It's like my model isn't complete. What's missing? What's missing? And I'm so, you know, I have been shaking my fist at the sky for some time, because maybe I haven't had the success I thought I wanted or deserved at different times. But now I realize, God, it's only in the last few years do I really feel that I've plugged a lot of the really important gaps. And of course, I'm still learning, and it's an evolving model. But it's like, oh God, yeah, it's like, I think a lot of people like to package up an offering because they can then sell it, which is fine, it's understandable. But they haven't necessarily gone through the same level of critical analysis, which I think is ethically important, which is, how is my model flawed? How is it dangerous? How is it maybe great for lots of people, but who is it contraindicated for? Mm-hmm. Right. And then what can be done to identify those people more quickly, and what can be done to refer them on appropriately? And a lot of people, they get their cozy model, and they don't then, you know, critically assess it. And I have been really passionate about tearing my model apart constantly to look for its flaw, to look for its weakness, to look for what's missing. And then using my practice as a laboratory, really, and using my own journey, my own mistakes and my own dissatisfaction. And the thing that's been glaring for me, the reason why I stopped training free mind therapists, is because of the recognition that the body, it is a great psychological healing modality, but I'm not willing to train people to be only delivering on that one flavor when I know the body has to be included, the energy has to be included. What my partner Rhea has been pioneering, the combination of body touch, which is about releasing the physically stored energy, and what I know about the energy tools of things like Qigong, I'm like, this has been the most lucrative part of my work, training other therapists to use this model. And I've stopped it because it's not complete. It's not complete. I'm back to the drawing board. I want to learn, how can we add some tools which can include energy work? How can we get people to learn? Free mind is built on the value of self-managed self-care. So whilst you can go and see a free mind therapist and work with someone, all those free mind therapists are meant to be teaching those individuals to be able to do the work on themselves. And so for me, I don't know at this stage how to teach people to do the energy work on themselves and the physical work that needs to be combined with it for it to be a really ethical healing modality.
I'm excited. I'm also going to see if Nathan's trying to contact us somewhere.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Are you saying that you were kind of wanting to excavate or tear it apart? As you were saying that, I felt that it was because it's all been evolving, because you've been doing the work, you've been getting it out there, and people have been running it themselves, they've been giving you feedback. Is it a tearing apart, or is it actually watching it as it evolves and saying, whoa, there's that, and there's that, and there's that, and I need to take a moment to look at what's being shown me?
I mean, tearing apart probably sounds a bit too brutal. It's,
well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's indicative how much I don't want to, for me, I have to hold it in a way where I have to be willing to tear it apart, to be able to ask those important questions, right? It's not that I don't value it deeply.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trash it. It's
exactly.
But it's honouring it, but I think it's so important, because what happens is very early on in my career, I was like, I've got the answer and I'm going to bring it to the world, right? Which is not helpful for the world, and it's not helpful for the individual. That got me slapped about by the universe no end, and for good reason, right? And now I'm more fluid and I'm more humble and appropriately so.
A little bit.
Yeah, I was like, I've got some things of great value and I'm open to evolving them. And collaborating and learning and letting it all go and then letting it breathe and let it evolve, letting it come back. And it's like, that feels better, way more organic. It's not necessarily as immediately profitable, but that shouldn't really be part of your design brief, I think. Things can be beautifully abundant, but if that's your primary purpose, you're most likely not going to critically assess your work in the most ethical way possible, which is important.
And, you know, this whole moving and shifting and being able to be flexible and fluid is a real skill in these times of we don't know what's happening next. And so to have practices that help to keep us in touch with this internal compass, this rudder of integrity at our centres, and to know that we've got tools that can really help us when we're going through the difficulty. You can't actually go out to the shops and buy them or get anyone else to do them. Yes, you can be taught them, but as you said, it's that self-empowering bit, when to use what when you need it. And I must say it's been really helpful to have replays. So I've been doing the Free Mind Hypnotherapy with Nathan Simmons since last May. And bless him, he gives us the replays, and that is now on a playlist of mine that I have whenever I need it. It tends to be the early hours of the morning, although more recently some of the ones you've been doing have been so friggin' exciting they haven't been the ones to really do early in the morning.
Yeah. In the middle of the night, some of them, yeah, they're too uplifting and you won't sleep again, but yeah.
Yeah. So that point of being willing to develop and respond and feedback and to let it go, that's such a Taoist approach, isn't it, Tom? To let it all go and then see what's there, see what's there. And yeah, what is left, and there's such a deep truth and integrity in that, and bless you for that approach. I think it's really refreshing, and it's good for anyone else to be inspired by that, because it's the complete opposite of fear. It's like a daring courage. You know, if you feel that what you're doing and what you're bringing to the world is the best that you can in that moment, for what you can for yourself or anyone into the field, as you say, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, that's the only thing we can is, does this feel deeply aligned? Am I, we can turn up in the uncertainty and then are we just putting our best foot forward? Are we doing our best work with what we've got, with the right level of integrity, with the right balance, with the right fairness? That if we can just follow that, then one foot in front of the other, with great things are going to come through us and happen for us. And yet still constantly not allowing that to inform your identity or become the next thing that you're attached to as being the thing, right? Which is so hard because in this world, people are like, what's your name? What's your label? What's the thing that you do? And you're like, my most favorite quote at the moment, Clara, is an Alan Watts quote, which is like, I'm under no obligation to be the same person I was 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What's really interesting here is this has turned into like a tea time chat, and I'm going to want to share this with people because I think it's really fab. But there's also something very informal about it, in that we're having a conversation about something that we really want to talk about, and we want Nathan to be here. And where is Nathan? He's just left me a little message that has an expletive attached to it.
But there we are.
Because this is the whole sort of practicality that we're dealing with, isn't it? We sort of and this fluidity, and we're not going to be the same person as we were 5 minutes ago. And yet, there is something really stable at the center of us, and that's the piece that I would like to speak into and speak from as well.
Yes, agreed. Nice.
Here's Nathan. Oh yeah. Oh
Sorry,
yeah.
that's all right.
Sorry.
It's okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I was filtering about 400 things in my head. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm really organized. I'm getting on top of things. I know what I'm doing for the rest of the afternoon. I saw Clara's message. I was like, so yeah, no, I'm here. I'm good. I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank
It's
you.
fine. It's fine. We're good. I think we got to where I was just saying was that I ethically recognize that as much as I love the free mind model as it stands, as you know, I paused the training and training specifically the deeper therapists because I felt that there were some gaps. I felt that some of the new work that I'm pioneering, or Rhea's pioneering with me, kind of she's taking the free mind stuff and looking at how it turns up in the body. And she's exploring how can we teach people still, the essence of free mind is about self-management. So as free mind therapists, we're teaching people these tools that they're not dependent upon us. And so Rhea is exploring how can I teach people these, to place hands on the body and to help release these repressions. And of course, with Clara's experience, she was talking about, okay, well, moving the chi around, ultimately the aim of Qigong and the aim of free mind and finding stagnant and stuck energy in the psychology of the mind body and the field. We're doing the same work, right?
And for me, I think it's even processes that you've led, Tom, and I've seen you do with certain people, is just feeling that stuff in the body. And that's kind of language that I've used, is feeling where it's stuck. What is the emotion that's in that place? And then, you can line it up with the Qigong, you can line it up with Chinese medicine, what the organs are doing in different places and stuff like that. But the core element is going into that thing. Where is that thing? What is the emotion? What is the language that's sitting in there? What is it is waiting to be expressed and released to allow everything to flow energetically, physically, and all those things. And in your words, it turns up as incident or illness if we're not doing those things. 100%, 100% backing up all of that.
Yeah, and I think because we are multi-dimensional, multi-faceted beings, we talk about mind, body, soul, but there's all these are the levels of the field, the levels of the aura, the chakras, the dantians, the meridian lines, the sacred geometry, we are complex beings. How do we find integration with all these parts and stuff? And I think one of the key things is obviously the qigong, I'm going to say that, but I'm also going to say the piece that has really come in for me is being able to be safely guided into my subconscious realms. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Yes, and to feel that it's safe to explore those realms, and it's time to do that. And I'm not going to lie, it's excavated some crud, especially recently. That is not easy. And Tom and I were talking about this a little bit earlier about it. The stuff that we're holding in our generational field and the things that when they're ready will come up because we're part of that ancestral legacy. But what I was finding also that when I'm in those deeper realms, that some of my Qigong practice will turn up there as well. And I've just would love to have somebody to talk to about this because what's going on there then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is so such a key part of the guiding someone into those deeper realms of the psychology is someone who has done that on themselves, and they have found that accessing, witnessing, holding and feeling that quality of pain and fear, and knowing that whilst it doesn't feel like it in present time, in first person, safe, that it is not just safe, but it is actually incredibly, it's a deepest blessing, that it has profound beauty within it, and that it is also what's being called for in terms of our destiny, right? It's like, and if your facilitator can hold that when they say to you, and now it is time, then your unconscious feels a level of truth where it's like something in what that, okay, I wouldn't usually open to that, but because this voice has clearly been there and seen it and done it and has years of experience of taking people through that gateway, and it's clearly, they believe it's a good thing, then the unconscious will finally say, okay, I will give you access. And as you access that, it is vertiginous. It feels like we're going over a ledge from safe to profoundly unsafe. And the work, which is easy to, you know, to underestimate in terms of, it sounds simple, but it's a vast thing to be able to, whilst we're feeling like we're in existential threat, to trust that we aren't. That's us taking the hand of the lost parts of ourselves and bringing them home. And it's deeply, deeply healing, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels deeply threatening and profoundly dangerous, and like we're in the murkiest part of our deepest realm. And surely this isn't safe or right, but it's recognizing that all of the feelings of this isn't safe or right is actually the inherent sense of how that felt historically. And that isn't our adult perception of the truth of that experience. It was just the stored content. The reason why we didn't feel it was because it felt so profoundly threatening. So, of course, when you access it, it will feel profoundly threatening. The freedom is realizing, wow, this is an ancient sense of threat, which is no longer relevant. But that's no small thing.
No, exactly.
I was going to say, because it comes when I talk about reacting, and that breakdown of the word is actually you're reacting a past moment in the present, which is stopping us or in disabling us from creating the future. And then when we're going into these processes, yes, being held by someone that has done that sort of work or has had that experience through whatever means or medium there is then enabling or giving someone the security and sense that they can just push the edge of their comfort zone. It's like we don't have to push people out into crazy panic zone. We can just help people to stretch that zone, and you can walk in as deep as you want. And that's the authority and agency that comes with the free mind process, is when we're guiding people in this. Do I have your permission to take you to this place? Yes or no? No. And at any point, if you feel this is too much or you feel unsafe, you have complete agency, complete authority to step out of this process anytime. And then getting people to say, yeah, I've got that. I'm okay with this. And then having someone, you know, just stretch that comfort zone. And it's not like we're going to leave you out in the dark. It's almost like you're doing your kind of loop, you're doing your thing. And then all of a sudden that loop changes and you stretch out and then you come back in. But when you stretch your comfort zone, it cannot be the same as it was when you were there before. It expands and it changes shape as we just touch the edges of it. We go a little bit further. We expand a bit further. We find another contraction as we take another step out. And it's just having that psychological reassurance of the person that's facilitating, and also your own sense of wherewithal and your own empowerment to say, actually, I'm not okay with this. I can step out of this at any time I like. I'm in control here in a healthy way.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things, quite a lot of things come up there. The first thing that really struck me was this power of holding, because with you guys holding the space, that enables us to explore, knowing that there's a safe container. And as you say, there's also a permission slip. You can get out of this whenever you want. So there's freedom there, but it's that holding. It's such a special energy. Because I think you soften more when you're holding, but then, when you're being held. But then, as we were saying earlier, what we want with all these practices is to help people hold themselves for that empowerment piece, because you don't want people to become reliant on you. You want to teach them tools and techniques that they can take out into the field, into the field of all the fields.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, you know, that as the facilitator holding, and then the person is inside that container holding themselves with whatever is coming up for them, they then become, they get into that place of, I can hold myself here because I'm being held as well. That feels like a big aha for me. I mean, you know,
it's huge, but also just the process of, because our unconscious is smart, and so it's made a decision, you can't handle this, so we're going to repress it. And so then we go and we go, well, we thank you for that, and we come here with reverence and respect, and we're letting you know, in this container, we're willing to taste a flavor of that. And it does. It often doesn't take you to the most gnarliest crud first. It gives you a bit of, like, you know, appetizer crud, you know? And I will sometimes say to my clients, you know, as they've just had a big release, thank you, protector. And notice their legs are still intact. They've not lost any fingers. They are still just in their comfortable home or just here with me. And I thank you, but please, please retrospectively recognize it is safe to access this content. It is just intense emotional content, and let's not underestimate that, but it is safe. And so then you get the insights, and then you get that, oh, that explains why I'm like that in relationship. And so then you start to, the protector, the unconscious, it begins to understand, it starts to put the pieces together for itself. And it then sees it is better out than in. It sees that. And when it can see that, then we're in trouble, because then it's like, right, let's get to work. And that's it, you're in. And it just starts dumping and dumping. And then you start seeing it reflected. And it's a really intense 3-5 month process then. When your unconscious is like, oh, this shit's better out. Right, boom. And it can be bumpy. It can be bumpy, right? But in my experience, it only does that if it knows that it's safe. And
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101 night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I've got a huge amount of respect for the work of the trauma-informed community, who have brought a lot of awareness to trauma. And I say this gingerly, one of the things that enables me as a facilitator in the Free Mind model to take people to trauma in a way where they can hold it and it is not traumatic again, because we talk about the metaphor of taking the child by the hand to a cupboard where they think there's a monster in the cupboard, but when you open it, they're going to realize there isn't. And so as you're walking towards that cupboard as the facilitator, there shouldn't be any part of you that's afraid about the places people are going to go, which is why if you're still afraid about various corners in your mind, you won't be able to do that fully. But when you can do that fully, then for me, it's like it's the perception of trauma that is now historically irrelevant as trauma, because we're no longer dependent on these people. So this is very fine line whereby actually I'm not going, oh, we're going to take you to what is actually really dangerous, and we've got to be really careful because it's fucking huge. And I feel that sometimes within the trauma-informing community, that's the approach. If you take someone like that to their trauma, when they touch it, they're going to panic and they're going to re-traumatize themselves.
Is this the power of suggestion? Anyway, Nathan, I'm sure you've got something to say about that.
Yeah, the one thing that I remember always from Tom, one of the key things I remember from the training with Tom originally when I did it with him, is like when you have a child and that child comes to you and they've just had a nightmare. And the child says, I've just had a nightmare. And you're like, well, sweetheart, tell me all about it. Let me put my arms around you and hold you. And then you turn around to the child and say, but as long as it's not about werewolves, I can't be doing the nightmares. No. But then what you're doing is you're creating that distance where that child now has, well, actually, what am I safe to tell you? And they start to question that safety net because there's a condition to it. And then the other part that pops into my head is often when we look at, you know, those horrendous moments where there's child abuse, more often than not, when the child is abused, they don't actually realize that something is wrong until they see the reaction of the parent. It's the reaction of the adult that and then encodes that kind of that trauma inside of it and then turns it into there's a loss of connection, there's that loss of held space for them. So it's been as the holders of that space is actually we've done our work, or we're not done our work, it's a lifetime's work. Once you're in it, it's always a lifetime's worth of work. Is nothing is going to phase us. Yes, it's going to bring stuff up for us. Yes, there are times when I've been with clients and I've cried because what they've shared is deeply profound and deeply emotional, and it's you know there's a natural connection with that. At the same time, there is nothing that you can bring to my door that will phase me in a way that will stop me from holding your hand and going into that space. 100%. So the moment you kind of switch that, all you're going to do is just re-trigger that lack of safety, that encoding of what the trauma aim to mean for that individual at that moment, and it just turns up again and again. And then you're going to get people saying, you know, well, therapy doesn't work for me, I've tried therapy, I've done that, and you're just giving them another reason to disbelieve there's a possibility to move themselves forward.
Yeah, it's that the expectation. It's like when I'm sharing Qigong, that one of the key things is that you don't tell people what to expect. You don't talk about a brilliant session. It's really difficult to describe when you're saying to people, this is the dog's bollocks and the cat's whiskers, because this and this. It's like that means that's what they're going to expect. It's very difficult. What I can use is, you know, even using testimonials, that's still somebody else's experience. And what can be yours? So it's this offering the experience, which you do with the Free Mind Hypnotherapy, which I do with the Elemental Qigong, itself a form of mind-body-spirit hypnotherapy. And what I was missing was that deeper dive into the subconscious, which is what your amazing facilitation has given me to say facilitation or fascin. Anyway, I feel like there was a celebration for a moment in there.
A celebration.
Yeah. Nice.
So what I was feeling also, you were saying this repetition piece. So this is something that I've noticed, as you say, when we first go into a session, you often say, like, you might zone out for a bit. You might have this psychedelic disco. You don't know. You're offering possibilities to people to have their own experiences. And I've often found when there's been a new journey that I've gone on, I won't be conscious for all of it because my system is getting used to this new pathway that's being shown me. And then you go back into it again and it recognizes it. And I now have favorite journeys that my system calls for. And it's different every time, although I know the pathway. Because I know the pathway, the repetition there, the space for a new expression to be there. And that is very similar to the Qigong. You do the same movements and it's different every time. The sense, the feeling is different because your now moment is different. And I think there's real gold in this. The repetition piece brings the reassurance and the space, the self-holding for then what wants to come through and be shown.
Do you find yourself with your Qigong practice, your self-Qigong practice, kind of waking up, feeling into your system and of the various, because I don't know how many different options of movement there are, but I imagine there's quite a few. That you find yourself, you'll obviously have some favorites because of your makeup, your body certainly needs a certain type of, you know, in medicine. I imagine sometimes intuitively you're like, I really fancy doing that. Or when you start your practice and then you're called to do a movement, that you can then reverse analyze what must be happening inside because of what you know the movement does. And that's when you can feel whenever you're reaching for a psychology tool or an energy tool, when you get really familiar with the tools, just what your body's craving, it's like, oh, I'm craving some protein. It's like what we crave for food if we're tuned in. Oh, I'm craving for some, you know, inner child regression to when I was four. I can fill my four-year-olds up, you know. Or you like, oh, I really need to do it. I think it's my kidneys. Or, you know, it's like, that's when we've really got a smorgasbord of tools, right? That's exciting stuff, right?
That's exciting stuff. Definitely. Yeah. There are, well, what turned up right at the beginning when he went into the mirror, I can't remember which, something, it was the Gemini new moon. When you took us down to look at the mirror, Nathan, that's one of the ones that I really value, because for many, many reasons, love the color blue, think it's really good for the kidneys as well. But I love the way that you use color too, because it has such a potent frequency, as you know. But if blue's not your hue, be with the one that is, which is again, very similar to the way that I offer it in practices. So because when you can see yourself in a mirror, there's so much going on of self-recognition of that can calm and ease, you know, you're not seeing yourself in the mirror that you would at home. You're seeing yourself in a different kind of mirror, and you can play with that. And I have found that doing my practice subconsciously in that mirror has been quite astonished, and it's been clearing forms and circulation of energy, and then some still points will come. As Tom was saying, there'll be something that calls you in to just bring in. In fact, I want to go into it again now. Even talking about it, I can feel the call to that inner space to do the inner qigong, because to me, it's like planting seeds. Not only is it the therapy in itself doing it, it's planting a seed of healthfulness, of a healthful pattern of energy that will then ripple up through.
So this is the beauty of doing the subconscious work, and it's about the metaphor. You know, when you look at multiple disciplines of therapy or different approaches we can do, where we can do mirror work, we can do constellation work, where we get people to play characters for us, and we can do whatever it is. But you know, you can use some of these metaphors in the subconscious, in the hypnotherapeutic kind of landscape.
Yeah.
And actually just enact it for yourself in that safe space. But very often when people say, oh, go and do this thing for yourself, go and coach yourself. Well, you're a coach yourself. We have all these internal confirmation biases which are running and stopping us and protect us doing their thing. And it's just like, well, I can coach myself, but it's going to take me 18 months. Or I can get a coach and it's going to take me 6 weeks. So when you then do the hypnotherapy, you're shutting down a little bit, or if not all of that kind of cerebral noise, like that mind chatter, which then enables you to get out of your analytical beta white brainwave thinking, drop down into it. So the confirmation bias goes away, because actually then it's just you in reflection to yourself, and you remove that barrier. So then it can just naturally happen. And then the subconscious does the heavy lifting. So here's an analogy, here's a metaphor, here's an image, here's a song. Let this song be the anthem of coming home. Let this song be the anthem of clarity, whatever it is. And whatever color's right for you, just trust that. And then play the music, let the metaphor unfold for that person, and they'll see whatever they need to see, and they'll get the answer they need in that held space. And then, like you say, you can do that journey time and time again, and every time it will be a different experience. And, you know, you may go up and down those levels of awareness, those levels of like actual consciousness of non-sleep, deep rest, fully checked out, fully aware. And you might have done that journey 10 times, and you it's been amazing every time. And then you do it the 11th time, because something else is just kind of tickling in the background. You don't experience any of it, and the body shuts you down. And then you kind of you wake up 2 minutes before the end, which is normally 2.5 minutes before the end, which is about the time. And all of a sudden you're standing somewhere. You have no idea how you got there. The music's playing. You're like, what the fuck was that all about for the last 45 minutes? But you almost like you have this expectation it should have been like that. But because something is naturally shifting through the system, something has evolved from the layers that you peeled. And now actually you need to go into that deeper state of rest. So the conscious mind is fully out of the way, so the subconscious can do the heavier lifting to actually create some unfolding that needs to happen afterwards. So it's a beautiful place to work in. Like, really beautiful.
Anything, Tom?
Just as we're talking, just excited around the idea of a retreat with lots of, like, you know, a lot of the time you'll have qigong or yoga in the morning, but for me it's like, let's do a process, and then you would intuitively call in some movement medicine. And then like even during, like what we do whilst meditating, can we do, is there even qigong you can do whilst you're lying down, maybe whilst they're journeying, or get them moving? And you know, Nathan, I love to get people up and dancing at the end of the day and celebrating, because it's so important. Well, especially when they're envisioning this new identity, this new way of being, and they've made these commitments to themselves, and then they're in the embodied movement celebrating that way of being. And so for me, definitely, you know, what I've, as I've now been working with clients now, where I see my clients for a whole day once a month, and it's a completely different way of working. It's much more lucrative, and they go on to be much more successful more rapidly. It's like, it's been magical. And for me, the value of having people for more time and immersion. And, you know, so for me, what's brewing is a very interesting co-facilitated retreat where we would combine, you know, what Rhea is doing with actual touch on the body, with what we're doing. You know, Nathan, I've told you about the power of a double induction. So two voices. But I don't know if you've listened to any of the double inductions on the Freemind double induction stuff, but both my voice, I've done it in the studio, but when you do that live with two people, one's telling a story, the other's doing process work, and your brain holds both but can't quite, and it confuses and occupies the conscious mind in ways where the positive stuff just goes in deep. It's like, ah. So doing that live, combining it with qigong in a beautiful setting, I can feel we're already there, high-fiving, having run something epic. Can you feel it?
One of the pieces that I wanted to just presence here is the how I find the Freemind hypnotherapy sessions, collaborating with the qigong and the Taoist principles of becoming in touch with your eternal self. You know, who is watching all of this? Mm. Who's the one that's noticing that you're going down the stairs? Who's the one that's got the colors and decided, you know, what, you know, polishing the diamond of our eternal spirit body and freeing up from all those layers that the personality has brought in, or as you said, the inherited conditionings. It's like each of us are this unique magical spark of the divine. We have gifts that want to shine, and it's our job to let them shine and to get rid of the crud. I think, feel, know, GNO.
Yeah, agreed.
If you're really interested about what we've been chatting about and you're thinking, I'd love to have some of this in what I'm already doing, it feels to me like I could do with this Freemind hypnotherapy as an adjunct, as a bolt-on and as a deep dive. Well, you're in luck because these two amazing fellows have got something up their canny sleeves. Do you want to tell us about it?
So we are running a kind of guided meditation facilitation training. So weekend with a month's support, we get access to the Freemind induction and deepener scripts, which, you know, so commonly when I'm led on meditations, people are like, okay, so we're going to do meditation. Imagine you're in a field and it's a beautiful day. And I'm like, where's the induction? Don't miss that. If you think the induction for meditation is just slow your breathing down, you are missing the power of what language can do to take people and to engage the unconscious and to prepare it for something profound. Meditation will do that. So if you take them in a meadow and you've got them slow their breathing down, you will be creating beautiful experiences. It's not that you can't. But if you add these other elements, it's like, oh my goodness. It's the difference between a few people being touched by what you do and a group of people having had a life-changing experience. And so we're really excited.
I am there. I am so doing this training. And if you would like to find out more, head over to tomfortesmayer.com. That's TomFortesMayer.com or NathanSimmonsCoaching.com. And for more on elemental qigong, it's ClaraApollo.com. And if you'd like to listen again to this valuable conversation or tell your friends, you can do so here on UK Health Radio On Demand, or you could listen to the whole full hour of conversation on the Qi Time podcast on most platforms. Now, here's the last little bit from the end of our inspiring, creative and exciting chat. Let's see what wants to happen next. We are the heart warriors that chose to be here at this time. We're holding each other's hands. So I thank you guys for everything that you are bringing through, everything that you've already done and that you're going to be getting up to too.
Thank you, Clara. It's been lovely talking to you as always. And I look forward, I can feel some rich collaborations brewing. Yeah. This feels really good.
Yeah, nice. Clara, thank you. Thank you, Tom, for everything as well.
And thank you, Nathan, for the amazing work you're doing, bringing the free mind work to the world. You know, you are doing incredible work and you're bringing a lot of people and you're using these tools beautifully, and nothing makes me happier. So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, guys, it's such an honour to be in the playground with you. It's really groundbreaking, important personal energy transformation work. Thank you, thank you. I'm so looking forward to adding more chi to the free mind mix of deepening power. And thank you, dear listener. Be the chi you want to see in the world. Your ripples have an effect and your energy is important. So keep your chi up, my friend. And thank you so much for listening to Chi Time.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.